Hello, this is Glenn Mann, and welcome to a new episode of New York Is This Way, the podcast designed to help you get around New York figuratively and literally. Now, you've often heard the saying, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, about New York. And so many legends and icons were born elsewhere, and they moved to New York and had amazing, influential careers, and this spans so many fields and industry, from entertainment to science to business. The list goes on and on. So I'm going to talk about a few of those people of culturally who were born elsewhere but moved to New York City and had just enormous impacts on American culture and even global culture. So these are some of the big names. So I'm going to start off with Mr. Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong is the most important figure, in my opinion, and many people's opinion, in American music history. He's such a consequential personality in music and culture. Of course, Louis Armstrong was born in New Orleans, the birthplace of jazz, and he became a star in Chicago. But he said he was born in New Orleans over 120 years ago, around 1901. And so he moved to Chicago. He was a phenom. And he became a star in Chicago. And this was during the 1920s. But it was a stardom in Chicago that eventually brought him to New York City. And when Louis Armstrong arrived in New York City, he totally changed the landscape. His playing wowed not only audiences, but fellow musicians. He raised the ante. He raised everyone's game. And almost every jazz musician and every singer would say that they are influenced in some way by Louis Armstrong. You have the great singers like Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald who said, you know, they learned to sing by listening to his records of him playing the trumpet or the cornet. That's how they learn to sing, and you can actually hear it in their phrasing and how they sing, the influence of Armstrong. And countless musicians who would come after him, like Miles Davis, they all had some influence by Louis Armstrong. Like I said, he became a star here in New York City. No, he became a legend, really. But he was the most famous musician in the world. He was in dozens of films, and he could have lived in a big penthouse somewhere on the Upper East Side. He could have had a big estate somewhere. But his wife, they bought a nice little house in Corona, Queens. And this house eventually will become the Louis Armstrong House Museum, which you can visit today. And you can get a glimpse of how Louis Armstrong lived. And you can see, you know, it really is a walk back in time. And he was a beloved figure in the neighborhood. When he would, you know, according to stories, when he would arrive back from a tour from around the world, the kids would run to the houses to see him. He would buy the kids ice cream. He would play music for them. And the Louis Armstrong House actually expanded. They had a property across from the house this year, which opened. And it's, you know, I haven't had a chance to visit the new expansion yet, but having visited the house in the past, I often tell anyone who's interested in music or in the history, you have to visit the Louis Armstrong House. And Louis Armstrong, like I said, born in New Orleans, became a star in Chicago, legend cemented here in New York City. Now, someone who was greatly influenced by jazz musicians was Jack Kerouac, writer of On the Road, Dharma Bums, one of the most influential writers in modern American history. And Jack Kerouac was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, to a French-Canadian family. And he eventually, you know, he arrived in New York. He was a student at Columbia University. And Kerouac would meet a group of guys, Allen Ginsberg, William Burroughs, and they would become known as the Beat Generation. And the Beat Generation would go on to influence writers, musicians, artists. A lot of their writings was directly influenced by jazz, especially the bop movement pioneered by people like Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie. And Kerouac was the guy who so many other writers want to follow. And also, this is a guy who was photogenic. He was, like I said, he had a movie star good looks. And Kerouac lived in so many different places around the city. But, you know, the Village downtown was where he spent so much time at clubs, hanging out with friends, getting drunk. And there's so many, you know, there's places you can sort of, you know, just walk down the street and get a glimpse or feel of sort of that history that Kerouac was in. And like I said before, I think so many writers have tried to write something in the proximity to On the Road. Now, personally, my favorite is Dharma Bombs. I think it's a better book, and I think it's just a great book. But he has enormous writings and poems that you can choose from. And like I said before, you can walk through some of the streets of Greenwich Village and sort of feel like a walk back in time to some of those places. And there's places like the Marlton Hotel on West 8th Street, where Kerouac spent plenty of time and did some writing there. I think he wrote some of On the Road there. Perhaps not the original manuscript, but I think sort of the revised ones. I think he wrote some of that there. And I think they have a typewriter there belonging to him at the Marlton Hotel on West 8th Street. And then you can go down to McDougal Street, Cafe Reggio, where Kerouac and his cohort spent a lot of time drinking espressos and pondering the fate and the reality of the universe, and, you know, probably discussing jazz records and going to other nearby clubs. So that's another person who, they made it here in New York. They moved from somewhere else. Now, as we move forward, someone who, I've mentioned the song New York, New York. The song was originally recorded by Liza Minnelli for the film New York, New York, starring Robert De Niro, directed by Martin Scorsese. But the song would truly become iconic when Frank Sinatra recorded it. Now, Frank Sinatra was born just across the river in Hoboken, New Jersey. But of course, it was in New York where Frank Sinatra would begin his rise to becoming one of the greatest icons in American culture, from his music career to his film career. And Frank Sinatra, he had that swagger, he had that attitude. Like I said before, he's Hoboken born, but I think of Frank Sinatra, I think of New York and not just the song, because he has that attitude and that confidence. And he first started with the Dorsey band as a singer, and he was very popular. And then there was some sort of this whole backstory about him getting out of that contract, which some say inspired the story in The Godfather of these. Remember the story, Johnny Fontaine, the Vito Corleone's godson who needs help getting out of a contract. Well, some say that's inspired directly by Frank Sinatra's attempts to get out of his recording contract. But Frank Sinatra had this huge, huge career, of course. And I think one of the most seminal moments of his career, and I talk about it, I think, in an earlier episode, but his first solo concert in New York City was at a place called the Paramount Theater, which is located in Times Square. And this became known as the Columbus Day Riots, because it was a concert that took place on Columbus Day. There were a lot of kids out for school. So lots of young women were in Times Square to see Frank Sinatra. This was 1944. And actually, I got to correct myself. This wasn't his first solo performance. This was a big deal, because all these kids were out of school, and they kind of stormed the area just to get a glimpse of Frank Sinatra. And before there was Elvis, there was Frank Sinatra. And that's the kind of, just the impact and influence he had. And they called it the Columbus Day Riots, because all these young women in there, you know, pigtails and body socks screaming and a frenzy just to get a glimpse of Frank Sinatra. And, you know, the Rat Pack, they spent a lot of time in Vegas, of course, but also a lot of time here in New York City. So that's another person who was born just across the river, Hoboken, New Jersey, but has such an impact and influence right here in New York City. And when you think about New York City, you think about many different industries. You think about art. And the person who I think of when I think of New York, when I think of art, is I think of Andy Warhol, the pop art Svengali, who really, whose influence still is felt today. His approach to art. This is a guy who said art is anything that you can get away with. He said that business is the best art. Now, Warhol was born in 1928. He grew up in Pittsburgh area, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he spent a lot of time with the kids, very sick. He often stayed home, watch old movies. His mother would make him, I think, according to lore, his mother would like make him Campbell's chicken soup like every day almost, because he was always not feeling well. But he was a very talented artist. And he moved to New York to begin a career as an illustrator for magazine publishers like Hearst Magazines. And Warhol, he had ambitions to be more than that. But he didn't quite fit into the art scene at that time. The abstract expressionist, the Jackson Pollocks and any other, you know, other artists who they were the norm. He didn't quite fit into that scene. But Warhol ended up basically almost creating his own scene, built on glamour and built on pop culture. And of course, he would. His studios, known as The Factory, was where celebrities and other creatives would hang out. Now, Warhol was known for frequenting a place called Serendipity on the Upper East Side. It's a restaurant. And he was known for having the frozen hot chocolate, which is really, really delicious. And whenever I'm like near Serendipity, I've always seen a line outside. I don't think I've ever not seen a line outside of Serendipity. And I think they actually have like an ice cream line too now, which if you can get a hold of it, it's pretty good too. But Warhol, he sort of really changed the scene in New York. And he attracted so many celebrities who wanted portraits, who wanted just to be part of the scene of all these different people. He also would be involved with managing the Velvet Underground, which had a huge impact on music. So Warhol, like I said, a kid who was a sick kid. He grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, very talented, moved to New York and became an icon. And you know, from hanging out in places, like I say, Serendipity, from Frozen Hot Chocolate to the old Studio 54, to Max's Kansas City near Union Square, which no longer exists, which was a place where many musicians hung out. It's also the place where, I believe Bob Marley made his first New York City appearance, was at Max's Kansas City, and that was a frequent place for Andy Warhol and his crew and his people. So, like I said, someone else who moved from somewhere else, but really made it in New York and made it really big. And you think about Warhol, whose career started in the 60s, but was really prominent also throughout the decades up until his death, around 1988, 89. But when you think about that era of New York, like the 80s and the early 80s, and people, you have to talk about Madonna, she was born in 1958, Madonna. She moved from Michigan to New York City to begin a career and start a career in performance. She lived in the East Village. She had, you know, odd jobs. I think at one point she might have worked at an Orange Julius, I think, near Times Square. And of course, Madonna, young woman from Michigan, moves to New York City, becomes one of the great icons of music. First starts off, I think, pursuing a career in dance. Then eventually transitions to singing and overall performance. And it was 1983, she has her debut album, which features Holiday, features iconic songs. And Madonna, like I say, there's so many artists after Madonna who followed her footsteps, tried to follow her footsteps. And she was, like I said, a product of that art scene, that cool hip scene of the early 80s. She dated Jean-Michel Basquiat. She hung out, all these places where all these artists and people were hanging out. So she, you know, is sort of the epitome, really, of making it here. and she's on tour right now. And as I say, it's still an iconic career. So, you know, I didn't mention any professional athletes because I think most professional athletes, you end up having to go out of town anyway. You rarely get to play in your hometown. So you end up going anywhere. But you could definitely put professional athletes in this. You could put Babe Ruth, you know, who is still, I think, sort of the litmus test when you think about a sports superstar, such a huge impact on culture. And he was born in Baltimore. And in fact, did you know that the New York Yankees before they were the Yankees, they were the New York Highlanders. But before they were the Highlanders, they played in Baltimore, and it was known as the Baltimore Orioles. Can you believe that? But eventually, the Baltimore Orioles, that version of the Baltimore Orioles, would move to New York and eventually become the New York Yankees. But Babe Ruth, his influence, impact. But he's a guy who, I think, when you think of Babe, you think of New York, the face of the Yankees. But born in Baltimore, and to be honest with you, you could do hours of this across different fields. You could do business people, scientists, poets. You can do a ridiculous amount of people who moved here to New York who epitomize that saying: if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And like I said, some of those, and there's still some sites around that you can visit. Louis Armstrong, there's the Louis Armstrong House in Corona, Queens. If you want to, you know, be a member of the Beat Generation for the day, maybe check out the Martin Hotel, or maybe go down to Cafe Radio on Edugal Street and get yourself an espresso. Or perhaps, if you want to feel a very pop art day, maybe go to a museum and make your way to Serendipity for some frozen hot chocolate. And if you want to feel like Madonna, you can just dance, I guess, wherever you're at. You can do whatever you want to do there. But those are some of the people. And I guess the next episode, it will be native-born New Yorkers who really, really made it big here. So thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. And also, you can email me. You just have that in the podcast notes if you want to get some feedback, or if you want to say, hey, great job. If you want to say, hey, I don't like this show at all. I mean, don't say that. I'm not going to read that, but I appreciate the feedback anyway. Thank you for listening to New York Is This Way.